For more than 40 years, Lake Superior State University has been making a crowdsourced list of pet peeves about our language. The university's list of banished words is a New Year's tradition, and in just a moment, we'll be getting the 2018 list. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. John Shibley is a photographer, staff writer, and editor of the Lake Superior State University Banished Words List. John, welcome to the program.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Well, every time I say a word, I feel extremely self-conscious. What if I'm using one of the nearly 900 words? You're going to call me out on it, right?
No, not a chance. We encourage everybody to use as many words that have been banned over 40 years as they prefer to use, given the situation.
Oh, you're so diplomatic. Well, we are excited to, quote, unpack this list with you. Unpack is on the list, and we'll get to that. But first, what is the banished words list?
Started out as a cocktail party bet on New Year's Eve, 1976. A predecessor of mine, Wilmer T. Raby, ran the communications office at Lake State. He was at a New Year's Eve party with a number of faculty, and they got talking about words and phrases that they were tired of hearing about, either on the radio or on television or in newspapers or in daily conversation. And so Bill said, I bet you I can go home before midnight tonight and drop a list of words that we can ban. And Bill Raby was a stringer with United Press International. He did that, released it on January 1st, 1976, and the rest is history.
Why do you think it's become such a phenomenon? I mean, people from all over the world send you their ideas for banished words now.
Well, it's therapeutic. People look forward to every year providing us with suggestions for getting rid of a word or phrase that's overused or is nefariously applied. For some reason, it sticks in their crawl and they want to get rid of it. And then it's become a tradition. As far as I can tell, nobody was doing anything quite like this back in 1976. Now we've come into an era where lists and short lists and quick lists and top 10 lists are what sort of feed the beast, so to speak. So I don't know if we started this trend. I think lists have always been around, but it certainly fulfills a niche. And every year people like to talk about their language, like to share the dynamics of how the English language has evolved over time and have fun with it.
What qualifies a word or a phrase for consideration on your list?
That it bug you. That's first and foremost. And that you let us know that it bugs you. And it's not really meant to be an official banishment. So it's tongue in cheek. So when you do nominate a word or phrase, we'd like you to give us a clever reason for including it on this year's banished words list. So like I said, it's done for fun, first and foremost. If there's a serious side to it, it's to get us to slow down and think about how we express ourselves. And I think it's done both for going on 50 years. I can't believe that.
We're talking right now with John Shibley. He is a photographer, staff writer, and editor of the Lake Superior State University Banished Words List. You can join this conversation at 800-642-1234. What word or phrases have been popping up all throughout 2017 that we have just said goodbye to that were on your radar, so to speak? Maybe that was one of them, or popped up on your feed. Perhaps that's a phrase that was overused. Anything that just got on your case there during 2017 and you said, you know what, that's just not the type of word I think we should be using, or it was just used too much. 800-642-1234. John, without further ado, let's start talking about this list for 2018.
Okay. The top vote getter for this year. And you heard a lot about it throughout the campaign in 2016. You heard a lot about it during 2017. Fake news. That received several hundred nominations. We received between three and five nominations this year. This one received at least 300 to show up on the radar screen. And it, fake news, the nominators didn't have a network in mind. They didn't even have a politician in mind. They just objected to the way it's a button phrase. When you're told something's fake news, you are immediately put on notice that it's going to be fake. And a lot of, as consumers of knowledge, of news, of words, as we use words, we're aware of words that sort of back us into a corner. And that was a reason a lot of nominators provided to include fake news this year. Not for political reasons, just because it's a nefarious, hot-button word that makes up your mind for you. That's the main objection.
And you say fake news received several hundred nominations. Where do these nominations come from?
There's a nomination form on our website. Back in 1976, you had to mail in your words and phrases, either through as a letter or a postcard. And on a good year, we'd get several hundred. These days, we have a website for WordVanish. We have a Facebook page for WordVanish, and people pummel us with suggestions year round. So fake news. People aren't tired of quote unquote fake news. They're tired of the construct. They're tired of being led around by a ring through their noses and being told you can't make up your mind. You have to. This is fake news. We've told you it's fake news. So several hundred votes. That was very impressive this year.
Give us another. Give us another one off the list that you really appreciated seeing on this year's list.
Well, a non-word for the first time in the 40-plus years, we have a non-word on there, covfefe, which I think was a tweet from President Trump. He was talking about press coverage. And usually when I'm typing something quickly on my tablet device, there's an autofill. So every now and then a legitimate word gets in, but the legitimate word is garbles the sentence, of course. Well, I can just imagine, and I've seen it happen with other people, they type so quickly that there's no chance for the autocorrect to kick in. So covfefe was born, and one nominator describes it as an impulsive typo born into 140-character universe, Twitter, somehow missed by autocorrect feature. So political provenance aside, the political passions, the tribal politics of the day we live in, here's this innocuous little word that represents sort of the technology we're trying to communicate with each other through and how things can be garbled. And covfefe, I think, is a very appropriate word to describe what we're laboring under.
It just got caught in the to and fro of everyday technology and politics.
Yes, you've got that straight.
What about another word off the list?
Well, we're drilling down into the list right now. Instead of expanding on a statement, we drill down on it. A lot of these words are $20 words or phrases on a nickel errand. I was always told by a teacher of mine to express yourself as simply as possible, with economy, with clarity. These words can sometimes be extra calories that we don't really need. Unpack, a misused word for analyze, consider, or assess. It just becomes a trendy word or a word that's used by everybody over a period of time. And after a while, you have to go to a thesaurus and refresh the material, just like a good comic.
And unpack, you also hear a lot in the media. I know that we certainly use the word around here.
I think it has a technological heritage. Files were packed. You zipped a file to send it to somebody so they can unpack it and unzip it so it wouldn't take up as much room as an email attachment or as a file that you're sharing.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Unpack could harken back to that kind of interplay we have with technology when we share information.
Oh, very good. Well, is there anything surprising on the list?
Hot water heater. I have no idea why that was on there. In fact, someone pointed out to me that it was banned in 1982, so 35, 36 years ago. But for whatever reason, and I usually when we have these words and phrases roll in, I try to set aside some time to find out whether there's been a meme or a video that shows exploding hot water heaters and people are tired of it. Nothing like that. We had a big push from Chicago. I was thinking maybe there's a video of a hot water heater launching itself through the roof of a house. No, there wasn't any meme on the internet that accounted for it. So I have no idea why hot water heater. Hot water doesn't need to be heated.
The first list of banished words was published 42 years ago, and the word banishment tradition took hold at Lake Superior State University. The wordsmiths there each year curate a list of words and phrases that people love to hate. More from last year, focus, town hall meeting, and post-truth. John Shibley is a photographer, staff writer, and editor at Lake Superior State University's Banned Words List. Your questions and suggestions welcome at 800-642-1234. We'll return after a check of the news. The banished word tradition was started by the late public relations director at Lake Superior State University. So the story goes, he and a fellow faculty and staff at the university attended a New Year's Eve party where they drew up the first list from their own pet peeves about language, including Henry Kissinger's favorite word, détente. Fast forward 42 years and the banished word tradition is alive and well in 2018. We've got this year's list on the morning show on this New Year's Day. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. John Shibley is the editor of the Lake Superior State University Banished Words List. You can join in this conversation, 800-642-1234. What do you think of this year's list? Did it leave something out? Maybe the word or phrase is already in the archive. Let's talk about banished words. It feels good. 800-642-1234. Well, John, let's continue down this list. And there is one word that I feel like I use a lot, and that is tons. Tons. How did my favorite tons get on this list?
Well, it's an exaggerated quantity, isn't tons of sunshine or tons of work. Tons usually refers to mass or weight. I think that's splitting hairs. I think it's kind of nice to use metaphors and to have words that sort of spread different span the measuring into the abstract. So that just came up on the radar screen. I thought I'd been dealt with within the last 20 years, but there it is. I'm going to keep using it. I don't know about you. We're going to keep dishing it up on our end.
And you just teased the next word, dish.
As in to dish out the
As in not
rumor.
A plate.
Not a plate. As in, let's go back to talks about and leave dishes in the cupboard is what nominators said. One nominator suggested. So I haven't heard that one in my daily talking with people, but dish, I've heard it has a long legacy, and these words I think we should keep using, but it helps to talk about them.
Well, as I was scrolling through the archive, I noticed how these words helped you get a better picture of what that year was like. And it really kind of informed me. I said, oh yeah, I remember that in the Reagan era, or it was really interesting to me to kind of go through history through words.
Well, we've gone from detente to nothing burger. Nothing burger is on this year's list.
Yes.
And that was something that was kicked around during the summertime when they were talking about if there was anything worthy of investigating concerning Russian collusion. And Rens Priebus said, it's a nothing burger. Leave it behind. And that alludes to 1984 when we had Gary Hart and Where's the Beef? I remember that when I was a kid. So Where's the Beef sort of led to nothing burger. And while you can't keep a bad word or phrase down, it keeps morphing. And it livens up politics, I suppose. But we've gone from detente to nothing burger. So that's spans several decades of diplomacy, and as such as it is in politics these days.
I wonder if some of these words end up on here because of just how They become central to the conversation and the news developments. I'm wondering, you know, how soon net neutrality, for instance, will make it onto the banished list.
Well, it started showing up. I was looking for stuff more from technology. Some years we have shorthanded text techniques, numbers, combinations. One year we a lot of people voted for 9/11 because they didn't feel it should be contracted into a numerical shorthand.
Or Y2K.
But we didn't really see many of those kinds of suggestions this year. We're actually seeing complete words, or in the case of COFEFE, non-words. So it takes a different complexion on, depending on whether there's more politics one year, whether there's more trendy things in social media. Back in the old days, we had two sources of media, radio and television. Now it comes from all directions. And so words and phrases get bounced off us more than they used to. So there's a multiplier effect in there.
John, let me ask this. Why is "let me ask this" on the list?
I have no idea. Every December, every third week of December, I sort of check in and see how the county's going. And it's sort of like hot water heater. I did not expect to see "let that sink in" as a way of saying shocking, profound, important phrase. Let me ask you this. Out of the blue. So that's what makes this whole endeavor so refreshing. I can't predict what's going to be on next year's list. I have an idea, but there's always something that blindsides me.
Perhaps people don't like the "less let me ask this" because they just want you to get to the question.
Just ask the question already.
What about the word "impactful"? Why do away with this?
Oh, a nominator said, a frivolous word groping for something, quote, effective or, quote, influential. So it's another word that fits the mold of the $20 word on a nickel errand.
And then let's look at another one here. Gig economy. What is a gig economy, first of all?
Musicians, comedians, they have gigs. Just quick jobs as part of their... It's part of their the way they have freelancers have gigs. They go from job to job. That seems to be a touchstone phrase for economists now. A lot of people nominated that are concerned that we're going to be turned into serfs or sharecroppers if we're not careful.
Yeah, and it perhaps also has been adopted way more in the technology community.
Yep, and gig is... It has a sharp sound to it, too. It sounds like you're not taking something too seriously. I'm just trying to recall how people were affected by that. So either it doesn't sound right, or it assumes something and you're not really willing to sign on to a notion yet. So gig economy was overused to describe where we're headed.
But if we don't use gig economy, what should we call it?
Well, and that's a... Maybe we're not talking about certain notions and ideas as fully as some of the people who suggest certain words or phrases would prefer we have that kind of discussion. Something deeper than a quick pass at just providing a label for it. Maybe they're begging to slow down and we have a meaningful discussion about the implications of having a gig economy. So.
Well, maybe the banished words list is just the conversation starter to get at all of the problems, but we have to find better solutions for the words.
It may be too shorthanded. Yeah, we need to expand the discussion more. That's correct. That's what these are like canaries in a coal mine.
We're talking with John Shibley. He is a photographer, staff writer, and editor of the Lake Superior State University Banished Words List. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What word or phrase would you like to see banished or banned for misuse or overuse? worse in 2018. Do you think we shouldn't banish words, even jokingly? Why or why not? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Perhaps you even sent in a banished word or a phrase to Lake Superior State University, and you were part of the Banished Words List project. Join in and tell us about what you sent in. 800-642-1234. Let's go to Kenneth, who joins us from Janesville. Kenneth, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And the healthy food is one that gets in my craw. When people really are saying healthful food.
Oh, okay. So you would like to see that banned when you hear people use healthy food and you want them to say healthful food.
Correct.
John, can you help us out there?
Well, I mean, if you dig down, which, again, we're going to drill down into this, healthy food may not be as healthy as far as it's concerned, especially if you're having a meat product. But yeah, it's a modifier that could probably be a little, have more clarity to describe how we describe the food that we consume.
Well, Kenneth, do you have any more pet peeves out there?
I can't think of any right now.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. 800-642-1234. John, what about onboarding and offboarding?
Well, that's something that comes from HR. In fact, when I first heard onboarding used, I was kind of confused about what it meant. It was earlier this year when I first heard that, because when somebody's hired, there's training and orientation. Now, I guess that could fall under the whole description of onboarding, but it tends to come from, it's a specialized word that's worked up by HR offices and HR professionals, and I think it just tries to really sound clicky, maybe exclusionary. I think it helps channel using one word what used to take several words to describe what you're going to use. So that's not a bad trend to encourage in English, but a lot of people found it off-putting because why not just have somebody who has to fill out their retirement paperwork, you know, instead of go offboarding? What do you do when you're 65? I don't want to go offboard anything. I just want to retire.
I liked the definition here, creature from the HR lagoon.
Oh, yeah, that was a nominator's suggestion there. So
let's go to John, who joins us from Fitchburg. Hi, John.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, there's two of them that I'd like bad. What is the word way, W-A-Y? It is used everywhere to mean much, M-U-C-H. You look in the dictionary, you will not find the word way to mean much at all. And the other word is to use the word either in relation to meaning both. Either should always be used with the word or. It does not mean both. It means one or the other.
John Shibley, how would you respond to that?
We use way, way too often. I agree. Now, this sort of, we don't want to take a fine tooth comb to what is considered to be grammar exercises. Although that's what this list does. It gets us to slow down and think about how we express ourselves. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. And people really tap into that aspect of our endeavor up here to put this list together. But don't get too tied up on grammar. just let it go. We're looking for touch tone words. We're looking for trendy words, words that are sort of like having an old leisure suit in the closet that you would never wear in public, but at one time you did. So something along linguistically, something along those lines that you may not be aware of now, but that you should be aware of. That's what this list does. It's like a mirror that we can sort of make sure everything's tucked in properly before we go out in public.
Let's go to Mark, who joins us from Oshkosh. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Yes, thanks for having me. The word that I've been hearing a lot lately that really bothers me is clean food or clean eating. I think it's based on some books with that in the title. But it implies if you're not following these books, you must be eating dirty food or not scrubbing it enough or something.
Well, I even remember Panera Bread Company came out with its clean soups, or deciding that it was not going to put any preservatives in its food, and it had this whole clean campaign. John Shibley, what about clean food?
That's the same sort of construct we have with fake news. It's no different, really. I mean, it's sort of like when someone tells you not to think of an elephant, you have to think of an elephant. It's like clean food. The alternative is dirty food. So I think there's a little subterfuge going on there, trying to make you make up your mind before you even think about the idea. And a lot of nominators don't like that.
Well, Mark, you get your nomination in there, and you might see clean food on the 2019 list.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling in, Mark. Pre-owned was also on this year's list. John, what about pre-owned?
Well, it sounds classier, I suppose. You don't want to call a car used anymore. But pre-owned implies a certain modicum of care that's gone into it. It's just used quite a bit. And that's one of those words that people are just, I don't know how we'd find some other alternative to express pre-owned, a classy used car. But be that as it may, people feel pre-owned is overused, and maybe the $25 word on a nickel errand, I keep saying that, maybe that phrase should show up one year. So economizes, they say.
Let's go to Brad in Whitewater. Hi, Brad. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Hey, the word I would like to retire is fake news. Let's call it what it really is, which is propaganda.
Exactly. And that's why it's on our list. Once upon a time, stories could be empirically disproved. Now, fake news is any story you don't disagree with. Otherwise, it's fake news, as your caller alludes to, meant to be fake news. It doesn't want to hide its true nature from you. I mean, so fake news is either somebody who's telling you you're hearing fake news, or it's a cynical approach to how we get information out to consumers of information. We spin it up as fake for propaganda purposes.
Brad, thank you so much for calling in. On last year's list, John, there was three words actually that caught my attention, because I saw it in a new light once it lands on your list. Town hall meeting, because these meetings, these little group sessions from politicians, they don't necessarily happen in town halls.
They allude to a different period. Language tries to couch into the listener's brain a certain setting that sets a connotation. And it's a very powerful tool. Propagandists use it. Politicians use it. If it's used constructively, it can sort of set a stage that leads to different discussion. It opens up a different aspect of a conversation that has to take place. But yeah, town halls, that was during the campaign year, and it made it sound like the grassroots democracy meetings, which isn't bad. But there aren't many town halls that have meetings. There are still, but they take place in a variety of venues now.
The list of banished words is a crowdsourced effort. Maybe crowdsource is going to be on the list at some point. Lake Superior State University accepts nominations for banishment from all over the world, covering all manner of word or phrase worthy of words of being hijacked. John Shibley stays with us. He's a photographer, a staff writer, and editor of the Lake Superior State University Banished Words List. Bring on your banish-worthy words at 800-642-1234. What word or phrases in 2017 did you hear a lot, perhaps got on your nerves? What do you wish to bring to the table here? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a check of the latest news here on the Ideas Network. Words and phrases banished in previous years include absolutely, 1993, you're fired, 2005, Womanizer, 1988, Y2K, 1999, Read My Lips, 1989, and Manspreading, 2016. Last year's list exposed Historic, Selfie Drone, On Fleek, to name a few culprits. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Lake Superior State University's Banished Words List editor John Shibley stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Doug, who joins us from Madison. Hi, Doug. Happy New Year.
Hi. Happy New Year to you, too.
Go ahead.
So my son, who has an MFA from UW Madison in creative writing, says, Dad, let it go. The language is evolving, but it's still like fingernails on a chalkboard to hear someone say, try and do something, as opposed to try to do something. The first one, try and do something, is you're saying try and do, and what you really are trying to say is try to do something. And my son says, Dad, you know what they mean, let it go. But still, I think it ought to be on the list.
I can see where he got his inspiration. Well, you know, and that's what's fun about this list. Again, we don't try to get into brass tacks with grammar, but it serves as a nice platform upon which we examine the English language. And it does evolve, and poor speaking usually reflects on poor thinking, because language is a framework upon which we base reality. But it also has an undercurrent that taps into a lot of things, and it's very much alive. And I don't look at this list as getting in the way of that. I look at it as sort of providing a way for us to slow down and take a snapshot of how we use it. And that's very constructive. And there are lots of lists. Dictionaries put out words of the year. And Wayne State University has their own list that they put out every January 1st of words they don't want to see go away.
Mm.
So we started this in the 70s, and everybody loves a list, and it's taken off. And the nice thing is we talk about language. That's the main goal.
Well, Doug's pet peeve here, try and instead of try to, I wonder, do we just get downright lazy with the way we say things?
We're fast. We're faster now when we have the technology and texting and Twitter, tweeting. We don't have a lot of time to edit ourselves anymore.
Mm.
And I think that harkens to the objection that people have about, quote, fake news. Information is just turned loose on us. It's not edited anymore. And that inner editor has to stay on the job so we can think critically about how we consume information and how we express ourselves, right down to try and do or try to do. That's minor editing, but it's editing nonetheless. It's awareness, and that's very important when we express ourselves.
Well, Doug, keep fighting the good fight, and thanks for calling in. Let's go to Andre in Waukesha now. Hi, Andre.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Why, thank you. One of the pet peeve words I have is, like, if my wife and I would go to a restaurant and we get seated, the young lady will say, hi, guys, how are you? We'll sit down, and the waiter or waitress will come by, hi, guys, how are you? It's the term, hi, guys, especially when my wife is not a guy. That's kind of my pet peeve. I'll get off the air and listen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's up here we say use. And that showed up, I think, in the early 80s was use. And nobody outside of Michigan or Upper Michigan even knew what that meant. I don't know if that's used in Wisconsin. It's sort of like a pronoun. Was it gender neutral? I guess it's harmless enough. One of the things that bothers a lot of nominators, and it showed up on another year, was no problem. When you thank somebody for assistance, and it implies you were a problem to begin with. And I run into that a lot when I'm in restaurants. Thanks for taking my order. No problem. You know, it's just little ticks that that get across and get under our skin. And this list is here for that reason, so we can discuss these things.
Yeah, Andre might also have issue with y'all. You could say hi, y'all, or all y'all, which also gets into some interesting territory. Well, Andre, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to Dave in Baraboo. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I have two phrases that I would rather not ever hear again. One of them seriously, one of them a little more lighthearted. I actually have two lighthearted ones. The serious one is hardworking Americans, which is always nothing more than political pandering by politicians. The two lighthearted ones are thanks for taking my call, and I forgot what the other one was. Anyway, those two.
Well, Dave, thanks for calling in. John, well, what do you make of hardworking Americans? Thanks for taking my call.
Well, hardworking Americans, again, that couches an image that the person who's communicating with you wants to set up in your mind. And either that's a positive image or you feel used. And that is the same mold from which fake news flows. I mean, I feel used whenever I hear somebody say, oh, that's fake news. It's being written off. I haven't even had a chance to evaluate it as fake news. So that's why fake news, I was glad to see fake news show up, not for political reasons, but just because it's one of those button phrases that sort of make you think of things in a certain way. Now, thanks for taking my call. I am looking at the all-time Banish words list. I thought, yep, thank you in advance. Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you for taking my call, 1997. So more than 20 years, you can't keep a bad word or phrase down.
Well, Dave, it's already on the list, and you found it there. 800-642-1234. Join in here with John Shibley, who is editor of Lake Superior State University's Banished Words List. And the 2018 list is fresh. It is out on this New Year's Day. Let's go to Rich in Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
There are a lot of news analysts and talking heads on TV and radio now, and one phrase that's emerging is, that's not in my wheelhouse. I think it's a metaphorical phrase. And actually what they are saying is, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm ignorant in that area of life, but they will say about a politician, it's not in his wheelhouse or it's not in her wheelhouse. And I hear a lot of commentators saying, it's not in my wheelhouse, when what they mean is, simply is, I don't know anything about that.
John?
Well, there's a connotation there. Wheelhouse is a pilot house on a freighter, or I don't know if there's a wheelhouse in a train, but usually the captain is trying to keep track of relevant issues. So there could be something subtle there being said, when it's not my wheelhouse, that it's not worth paying attention to. Because I have a friend that's a captain on the Great Lakes, and he'll say, you got to stay focused when you're in a wheelhouse. Everything else is extraneous. So there could be a subtlety there. I haven't heard that phrase a lot, but now that we've considered it that way, I think we should look at to see whether something's being written off is not important. It could be a subtlety there, too.
Well, interesting. Thank you so much, Rich, for calling in. Let's go to Judy now in Franklin. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Yeah.
My sort, it's not a pet peeve, but I always want to be smart-ass about it when I ask somebody, would you like another cup of coffee? Would you like this? Would you do this? And people say, I'm good.
Oh, I'm good.
And I always want to say, are you sure? or how do you know you're good?
Is your coffee healthy?
Yeah, right.
What do you think of that response, John?
I think when you want to thank somebody for offering something, you should say thank you, maybe. I don't think we say thank you enough. We say, no problem, I'm good. I think people want to embrace the simplicity of communication sometimes, rather than trying to find it's like almost giving you something different, and suddenly you come back to the original intent, which is just thanks, and thanks will do.
Well, Judy, thank you for bringing that one to the conversation, and you can just say, yeah, I'm good, no, or not. Let's go to Jeff now, who joins us from Bessemer, Michigan. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, cable news, watch too much of it, but two words jump out, anecdotally and icon. I don't know if it's used correctly.
I'm scrolling through your list here to see if there either one is on here. Go ahead, John.
Well, something iconographic, I guess. And that's always, that falls under the $20 word for a nickel errand. I always try to shy away from things that are bigger than life, that have empty calories. There was a movie called The River Runs Through It where the father was homeschooling his kids and they were trying to write a sentence and they kept coming to his desk and he kept saying, rewrite it. It's too many words. And I'm always one to economize on notions and thoughts and words to keep it simple. An iconographic or icon could be something, yeah, iconic or icon.
It was 2009, yeah.
Yep. So basically is a word that's been nominated over several years, I think from the 70s right through the aughts. So you can, if you have something that won't go away, look on our list, and if it's still propping up, go ahead and nominate for next year's list.
Well, in the last minute or so we have with you, what do you think this long list, almost 900 words and phrases long now, this deep archive, what does it show about our culture?
Well, if you go back 10 or 15 years when we had social media coming online, when we had technology driving things, you'll see contractions like we talked about earlier, acronyms that are full words. But I think you can actually track not necessarily the politics of the country, but how we communicate from starting radio and newspapers and television when this list started, all the way up to everything that's on the internet, in the way of social media, the tablet devices. You get a sense for what's happening with our language. It's kind of fun. It's like looking at tree rings.
John Shibley is a photographer, staff writer, and editor of the Lake Superior State University Banished Words List. This hour of the morning show was produced by Brianne Chasso and Keely Baltina. You're with us on the Ideas Network.